Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. As the pandemic continues to affect physical accessibility to healthcare services, telehealth platforms remain an important channel through which providers can regularly connect with patients. Platforms such as Lavender, an online teletherapy site, help to bridge the gap between client and provider quickly and conveniently. On this podcast, Health Cetera correspondent and public health nurse Barbara Glickstein hosts Lavender's co-founders, Prima Dillon-Chata and Bridget Gannon, two psychiatric nurse practitioners who share a passion for improving access to online psychiatry and therapy services. This interview first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on January 12th, 2022.
This is Barbara Glickstein for Health Cetera in the Catskills. Telehealth is not a new technology for mental health services. In fact, in 1959, the Nebraska Psychiatric Institute was using early video conferencing to provide group therapy, long-term therapy, consultation liaison psychiatry at the Nebraska State Hospital in Norfolk. There are newer technologies that have grown along with generations of people who are more comfortable engaging online for their mental health care. And of course, what a difference the global pandemic has made. Today, psychiatric nurse practitioners Dr. Bridget Gannon and Dr. Prima Dillon-Chata are co-founders of the innovative online therapy site, Lavender. Join me in conversation. Welcome to Health Cetera. It's interesting to me to hear the path to starting a project, a program like this. So Prima, I'm wondering if you would tell me how the two of you connected and started this online mental health therapy site.
Sure, thank you, Barbara. First of all, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having us. Bridget and I actually met while we were doing our doctorates in at Yale in New Haven. And so we've known each other since 2015. We've been great friends ever since. And she visits me often. I live up here in Canada, in Alberta, by the Banff Rocky Mountains. And so she was visiting with a couple of others and we were chatting about how a lot of nurses want to go into business, but we get asked a lot, how did you guys get into business? Because Bridget and I both are entrepreneurs actually before Lavender as well. And, you know, we got to thinking and we said, what are we going to do next? Because in the entrepreneurial spirit, we're always thinking about what's next, what's our next big startup or setup. And we said that, you know, we really wanted to help nurses become more entrepreneurial and get more into private practice and really have more nurse-led interventions out there. And so we were kind of mulling over some things and talked about it, but didn't really have any plans. And then COVID hit, you know, and it was March of 2020. And we said, you know what, we need to start an online psychiatry office. There is going to be such a huge demand. There already is. And let's go online first. And so we're not brick and mortar. We don't have any offices. We're strictly online with an entirely remote workforce spread out across North America, actually. And launched it from idea to implementation within 45 days. And it was an exciting journey. Of course, we learned a lot along the way, but we were lucky to have had prior experiences where we can set this up a lot more successfully and quickly.
Wonderful. Great, great story. So I wondered quickly, was there any need to have different clinical training for online psychotherapy and therapy compared to in-person?
I mean, there certainly is, and I'll pass it over to Bridget in a minute, but there certainly is, and there's certainly courses that you can take. However, we didn't have the luxury of time to do that. And so it was really a matter of our interview process and the questions that we ask, making sure that our NPs are technologically savvy and developing internal kind of best practices and guidelines for them. But I'll pass it over to Bridget for a clinical perspective.
Well, Bridget, while you're answering that, I'd also love, since we're talking about sort of an access question as well, accessing clinicians and of course accessing clients. During the pandemic, in order to facilitate the increasing demands, I know that Medicare, Medicaid, and some private insurance companies, plus state and federal regulatory bodies, temporarily relaxed some of those rules of telehealth. Insurance coverage for mental health historically has not been good. Whether you have it even in your insurance package and or if it's there, it's limited to the provider's reimbursement fee schedules as well as the number of visits someone can have. Is the payment structure better for telehealth practice if a person does have coverage?
So you're right. Historically, there was not parity necessarily for telehealth compared to in-person visits, which is sort of silly because what the research shows is that the outcomes are the same, sometimes better with telehealth. Currently, my understanding is that there is parity for most healthcare plans in terms of the reimbursement rates for a telemental health visit versus in-person, which is great. And Medicare continues to reimburse for telehealth, which is really important, right? Because everything that Medicare does, the commercial plans tend to follow. Currently there is parity. And I think that that's probably here to stay because we have such access issues in our country. You know, when you are able to serve clients virtually, you're able to serve clients in areas of the country that may not have closed clinics or closed hospitals or enough therapists or enough psychiatrists to serve their communities.
Absolutely. And that has been also a historically a problem. And it certainly has gotten there's been more need as we all understand. So how do you connect therapists with clients? And either one of you can grab that question. Prima?
Yeah, sure. So just to clarify, all of our team is entirely NPs. They're nurse practitioners, and they offer both medication management and therapy. And so we use a variety of marketing channels. We're based in both New York and Washington and expanding to several more states in this year. And we use a lot of marketing channels to create awareness. And we have a concierge team who's staffed 7 days a week to answer calls and emails and whatnot. One of our core values is being very responsive and ensuring that clients are met with kindness and that they're responded to within less than 4 hours. And so we take great pride in taking good care of our clients and ensuring our calls are answered and people are talking to humans and they're greeted with kindness and respect and they're booked within a 2-week time frame. So we're really committed to getting care to people faster, particularly in this time of need where most places have a significantly long wait list.
And Bridget, I'm wondering, can you talk about how there is this, what approach, and I know that you have a team of nurse practitioners working and it's growing, it seems fairly rapidly from what I could see. What are the general rapport building concerns or issues for people who maybe who have never used telehealth before? And certainly that is a generational issue. And we know that across ages and social economic culture and ethnicity, mental health is needed sometimes at many points of your life and certainly not something people should avoid. So how do you build that kind of rapport on it in using telehealth?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And I think there's kind of user adaption on both sides from the psych NP side and also the client side. We call our patients clients at Lavender. I think that telehealth is really hip and hot right now. And I think a lot of nurse practitioners and physicians and therapists are really interested in telehealth, but it's very different than working in an office. You know, you're working at home. For some people, it can feel very isolating. It can be very challenging to work at home if you don't necessarily have a private space with a door that is your own. So when we are interviewing nurse practitioners, we've gotten really good at kind of being very transparent with them in terms of some of the unexpected challenges that they may encounter when they start working remotely doing telehealth and some of the things that would set them up for success. In terms of building rapport with clients, I think in some ways it's easier because they are on their turf. You know, they're not meeting you in your office, which can feel very intimidating, where there's that power dynamic between the psych NP and the client. You know, they're in their home, they're in their bedroom, they might be in their pajamas, they might be a little more relaxed. So what we're hearing is that rapport building is a little bit easier in some ways via telehealth.
And one other thing I thought about, and having been in therapy myself, but in person, the issue of privacy and not being distracted was managed by the therapist as well as the space I was in. And knowing how distracted we all are during a telehealth a client engagement, do they become distracted by emails that pop up or a text message or maybe a desire to multitask? And if they do, how do you deal with that, Preetha?
Yeah, good question. We do tell our providers in our training that one of our commitments is to be fully present for our clients. So that means being on a face-to-face video call 90% of the time, and that 10% is only if there's connection issues or something like that, and being fully present and being there. So where at all possible, do some pre-charting, things like that. So they are certainly trained with that. And then we do have, our clients do have a rating system where they can rate their experience and things like that. So we can keep track and keep pulse of what our clients experience and what their journey is. We actually don't use email in our organization with our NPs. We use Slack and we have them turn off their notifications unless they're tagged in it. And typically our providers have two screens. They're trained to set up two screens where one is their EMR and one is their video. And most of them are pretty committed and dedicated to client care when they're in session with clients.
It's interesting you answered as a provider, and I was actually wondering about the client experience, if they're distracted and looking at their phone and texting. So, but it was good to hear you respond to it from the provider perspective, and respect certainly that the quality of care and their presence is part of their, you know, expertise and training. What about the client side being distracted? And certainly that privacy issue does come up, whether, you know, knowing that, you know, many people are multitasking at home with families, multi-generationals living under one roof, children coming in. We've all seen it on TV news where an expert is reporting and a child or a dog or a cat comes in. So things happen, of course, but are there guidelines that are established for the client as well?
We've come across this. So we've had, like Preetha said, our expectation is that sessions are face-to-face. However, we are flexible when it's in the best interest of the client. So for example, we have a client currently that lived in a very small New York City apartment with his wife and his two kids. And he really can only do his sessions in his car because he wants the privacy. Typically we wouldn't recommend that you do a session sitting in your car because the connection might not be great and we might have to switch to phone call. But in order to help, you know, support his privacy, we're flexible in terms of making that change for him. And I think in terms of the NP, you know, kind of keeping tabs of in terms of whether or not the client is present and not distracted, you know, when you are in session with a client, all information is helpful information. So if you notice that a client is on their phone or their eyes are wandering to what seems like it's a computer screen, you know, maybe they're on email while they're in session with you, like that's useful information. It's just something to talk to them about. Like I've noticed that maybe you're not fully present right now. Is there something that is bothering you? Is there something that you need to go and check? And I think Barbara, those distractions also happen in person as well. I mean, we've all been in sessions with clients in our offices where they're checking their phone and they seem sort of distracted. So unfortunately, the technology distractions are kind of everywhere because we have our iPhones.
And don't I know it? Yeah. I understand it. And I find myself also trying not to be either rude or distracted when I'm on a Zoom call. So we all know that. And it's good to hear and also know about how it becomes part of the therapeutic milieu during that session. That, of course, the commitment to be in a therapy, to work through issues, to get support, to address issues, demands that one be present as well as their provider. With all respectfully understanding privacy and not asking you for specific cases, but I'm wondering if during the pandemic, you're seeing a particular kind of mental health issue that has become sort of dominant in the conversations of those that you and your team of psychiatric nurse practitioners are treating.
We're seeing a lot of nurses.
Are you seeing a lot of nurses? Can you talk about that for a sec? Yeah, why?
You know, I think anyone who's working in the healthcare environment right now is just kind of overwhelmed with the trauma and kind of chronic stress that they've experienced. It's not normal. It's not the normal way of working that we experienced a few years ago. And, you know, the trauma is very chronic. It hasn't really gone away. It's kind of sustained. So I think nurses are really struggling right now. We do see a lot of nurses, and we are very proud of that because we want to do whatever we can to support our nurse colleagues. In terms of, you know, symptoms that we're seeing, you know, a lot of anxiety, a lot of problems with sleep, some hopelessness about the future, because I think especially in this month, I think that this kind of reoccurrence of increased COVID rates is pretty alarming to people, because I think they were hoping for a more cheerful, hopeful 2022.
I agree with
you. People are struggling right now for sure.
Yeah. I recently said to a friend, my cheerleading others on is becoming a little lower in its voice, and my pom-poms are tattled. They're all tattered from trying to motivate my nurse colleagues, not falsely or any sense of not recognizing the emotions and the mental health stress, but encouragement, support, love, things of that nature. I'm not their therapist. I'm their good friend. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I'm wondering, Pridma and maybe Bridget as well, do you see this being a consistent way that people will be seeking mental health therapy and not returning to in-person post-pandemic? Pridma?
100%. I think teletherapy and telepsychiatry is here to stay. And I think there's a large percentage of the population prefers telehealth, but a large percentage also prefers face-to-face. So it's not the right, it's a hybrid approach, right? I think both are here to stay. There's still a place for face-to-face therapy and care, and there's a significant uptick in online care, particularly for millennials and younger adults and kids and pediatrics as well. They grew up with this technology. They are so familiar with it, and this is how they connect to people. This is how they connect to their friends in school. And so it's a little less intimidating that way. So I think it's certainly here.
And Bridget, maybe I'll just ask you this last question. Have there been any surprises for you as the founder, co-founder of Lavender, and in the past year, 2 years or so, or since your launch, has there been a big surprise or a small surprise?
I think we were wondering, the first thing that comes to mind is we were wondering when we've had these periods where the world kind of reopens, if we would lose clients who told us they wanted to return to in-person care. That was always kind of a thought that we had. And surprisingly, we haven't lost too many clients to in-person care. So like Pritma said, it seems to be that they in many ways prefer the telehealth sessions. I mean, we've had lots of surprises. We've made a lot of mistakes and had a lot of lessons. I don't know, Pritma, if anything comes to mind for you. There's been a lot of surprises.
Well, all good startups with conscious and competent, especially psychiatric nurse practitioners like yourselves, are always refining and making it better for the patient-client experience. Psychiatric nurse practitioners Dr. Bridget Gannon and Dr. Pridma Dhillon Chatha are the co-founders of the innovative online therapy site Lavender. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast of HealthCetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Diana Mason, Barbara Glickstein, and production assistant Kai Volsey.